When Lincoln took his seat in Congress in 1847, Washington was a sprawling town of 34,000 people, including several thousand slaves. From the windows of the Capitol, Lincoln could see crowded slave pens where manacled blacks waited to be shipped south. Southern planters had built a cotton kingdom on the shoulders of enslaved blacks, and they meant to preserve their way of life. White Southerners claimed a, quote, sacred right to own Negroes as slaves. Slavery was a blessing for blacks and whites alike, they said. A good, a positive good, according to Senator John C. Calhoun of South Carolina. Slave uprisings and rebellions had resulted in tough measures to control blacks and silence white critics of slavery. Throughout the South, anti-slavery writings and societies were suppressed or banned. Slavery had never prospered in the North and had been outlawed there. Some Northerners wanted to abolish slavery everywhere in the land, but abolitionists were still a small and embattled minority. Most people in the North were willing to leave slavery alone as long as it was confined to the South. While the North was free soil, it was hardly a paradise for blacks. Racial prejudice was a fact of everyday life. Most Yankee states had enacted strict black laws. In Illinois, Lincoln's home state, blacks paid taxes but could not vote, hold political office, serve on juries, testify in court, or attend schools. They had a hard time finding jobs. Often they sold themselves as indentures for a period of 20 years, a form of voluntary slavery, just to eat and have a place to live. Even in northern Illinois, where anti-slavery feelings ran strong, whites feared that emancipation of the slaves would send thousands of jobless blacks swarming into the North. Abolitionists were considered dangerous fanatics in Illinois. Lincoln knew that to be branded an abolitionist in his home state would be political suicide. Early in his career, Lincoln made few public statements about slavery, but he did take a stand. As a 28-year-old state legislator, he recorded his belief that slavery was founded on both injustice and bad policy. 10 years later, as a congressman, he voted with his party to stop the spread of slavery, and he introduced his bill to outlaw slavery in the nation's capital. But he did not become an anti-slavery crusader. For the most part, he sat silently in the background as Congress rang with angry debates over slavery's future. Lincoln always said that he hated slavery. He claimed he hated it as much as any abolitionist, but he feared that efforts to force abolition on the South would only lead to violence. He felt that Congress had no power to interfere with slavery in states where it already existed. He wanted to see slavery done away with altogether, but that would take time, he believed. He hoped it could be legislated out of existence, with some sort of compensation given to the slaveholders in exchange for their property. As long as Congress kept slavery from spreading, Lincoln felt certain that it would gradually die a natural death. When his congressional term ended in 1849, Lincoln decided to withdraw from public life. For the next 5 years, he concentrated on his law practice and stayed out of politics. As he traveled the Illinois circuit, arguing cases in country courthouses, slavery was becoming an explosive issue that threatened to tear the nation apart. Vast new territories were opening up in the West, bringing the North and South into conflict. Each section wanted to control the Western territories. The South needed new lands for the large-scale cultivation of cotton and other crops with slave labor. The North demanded that the Western territories be reserved for the free labor of independent farmers and workers. Meanwhile, as the territories reached statehood and gained votes in Congress, they would hold the balance of political power in Washington. The admission of each new state raised a crucial question. Would it enter the Union as a free state or a slave state? So far, Congress had managed to hold the country together through a series of uneasy compromises, such as the Missouri Compromise of 1820. These agreements permitted slavery in some Western territories and barred it in others. But attitudes were hardening. Growing numbers of Northerners had come to regard slavery as a moral evil, an issue that could no longer be avoided. Southerners, meanwhile, were more determined than ever to protect their way of life. The issue came to a head in 1854, when Congress passed the bitterly debated Kansas-Nebraska Act. Under the Missouri Compromise, the region that included the territories of Kansas and Nebraska had been declared off-limits to slavery. Under the new act, however, the future of slavery in those territories would be determined by the people who settled there. They would decide for themselves whether to enter the Union as free states or slave states. The Kansas-Nebraska Act had been introduced by Lincoln's old political rival, Stephen Douglas, now a U.S. senator from Illinois. Douglas's policy of popular sovereignty caused a storm of protest in the North. By opening new territories to slavery, his measure overturned the Missouri Compromise, which had held slavery in check. With the passage of Douglas's act, Lincoln ended his long political silence.
"I was losing interest in politics," he said, "when the repeal of the Missouri Compromise aroused me again."
He was thunderstruck and stunned, aroused as he had never been before. Douglas and his followers had opened the gates for slavery to expand and grow and establish itself permanently. Now, it would never die the natural death Lincoln had expected. He felt compelled to speak out.